Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank God for every day He blesses us with to win the loss, to be a blessing to His people as He speaks from the heart. When we relay the words that He speaks from the heart, we're giving other people a chance to have insight and vision. We all need vision for what we're believing God for. I like to think about how things work. Being a mechanic, that's how I do. So I look to the Lord the same way I try to understand how things work. And I know that the Lord provided us with healing. Healing is in redemption. And people teach it all kind of ways. Sometimes people say that the Lord will heal you if it's His will. Most of the time, Christians are not certain if it's God's will or not. But the Word of God says that by His stripes we're healed. Now, with God, it's settled. That's a done deal. He healed us. It's a promise for us. And we have to we have to believe His word, just like everything else. We live by our faith. Habakkuk said the just shall live by his faith. And we live, that's how we do. We live, the prophet said, we live by our faith. We receive the grace of God by faith. And when Paul was aggravated by the messenger of Satan, which was his thorn in the flesh, it wasn't a sickness, he prayed to the Lord to do something about it. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now he's got the word of God comes to us as a grace. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit, a grace, a gift. We didn't earn it, but we can receive it. There are promises throughout the Word of God. Now, Paul wasn't there when Jesus said to his disciples, you have power over the enemy. But he was taught by the Lord in Arabia. And I'm sure the Lord covered the fact that he has authority over Satan. But sometimes we don't connect the dots. Now, the authority given to us from Jesus Christ under the will of God, under the will of the Father, it was always God's will for us to have authority over Satan. And Jesus gave us authority over Satan. Now, if you see any form of satanic activity, you got to say something by your faith. You have to utilize the grace that God gave you. You don't have to go and ask God if you should do it or not. Just do it. Tell Satan to stop it. And he got tired of that damsel saying, these are the men of God. They show us the way of salvation. Just mocking them and aggravating them, being a thorn in his side. And he said, come out of her, you foul spirit. And he came out. And all of her divination abilities were gone. She couldn't tell people's fortune anymore. That seducing, familiar spirit she had was gone. Because he picked a fight with the apostle, which happened to be Paul. Now, the grace was sufficient. And we have to receive that grace by our faith. We have to use the tools that God gave us by our faith. And we have to have vision for it. If we don't have vision for it, we don't have hope for it. We'll see it as an impossibility. Now, so it is with any form of sickness, disease, any kind of problem you can have. My pastor, like he said, if you believe in God for something, study the word and get a vision for it. You got to see it on the inside. You have to see yourself healed and then speak it by faith and receive it. Now, to aid you in having a vision, sometimes you have to study the word. That was a lady that had a condition. I think it was cancer or something, diabetes, something. It was bad. And she said, I'm going to conquer this. And she went and asked the Pastor McCann to pray for her. He said, I'm going to pray for you, but first, study the word. Take some time and study the word, all the healing scriptures. Study the healing scriptures so you'll have vision for that. and then I'm going to pray for you. And she was obedient. She did what the pastor said do, because God gave him that wisdom. Sometimes it's not just the man, it's the Lord behind it, guiding him. And he told her what to do by the will of the Lord, by the word of God. And it became a grand example to me, because I minister to people on the radio. And people, you can tell them that they can be healed, and they get upset because they feel challenged, because they know they don't have the skill to do it. But to develop that skill, just read the word of God, and you'll have it. Vision comes from the word of God, and the Lord wants to share many things with us. And we're going to go back to it. Now, we're going to pick up where we left off in Daniel, because the word of God is given to us as a gift. And we have to endeavor to reach forth, just like we need healing, whatever we need, we reach forth. As God has given it to us by grace, but we have to believe it by our faith. We have to believe the written word of God. We have to see it bigger than our problem. We have to see God bigger than the problems we have. And the word of God enables us to do it. Now, the Lord is showing Daniel what's to be. He endeavored to know God's will on these visions and everything he was uncertain about. He wanted more detail. So the angel came to give him detail. Now, remember, if the Lord show you something in any vision, you understand more than what he's saying up front. That every time the Lord speaks to me, I can see picture references of what he's saying, and I understand volumes. He can say one word and I understand volumes. Now, so it was with Daniel. Now, Daniel sealed it, but it's written so that we can read it, which means that that the Holy Spirit will help us understand it. All right, now we made it past, I think we made it down to verse 38. But we're going to go back to verse 30 and continue forward in Daniel chapter 11. He said, at the time appointed, verse 30, he said, for the ships of Kittim shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes the temple desolate. It's written this way. And the arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And they're going to desecrate the temple. That's what they're going to do. Verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Now, this is what the Antichrist is going to do, and the false prophets are going to aid him to do it. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Even under pressure, the real people of God are going to do right, and they're going to do exploits. They're going to warn people. They're going to show people the truth. Now, the Antichrist is not going to be able to take over the whole entire world. Some people are going to put up a real good fight against him and win. But he'll have 10 kingdoms to help him corral the world into a corner. Now, you can't fight Satan with his tactics. You got to do it God's way. You have to love and trust God in order to win against Satan, even now. Because the word James said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, number two, and he will flee from you. So if you got to be submitted to God. If you're not going to be submitted to God, you're not going to win. Even if Satan run, that don't mean he ran. Satan will fool you. He'll play games. He'll act like he lost. But if you're tied into the world somewhere, you got to get rid of the world of insights and problems that, you know, you gotta hate the worldly way, because the love of the world will cause you to be the enemy of God. And you can't win against Satan if you're God's enemy. You gotta kill his temptation. Kill it dead. Learn to hate it. Confess that you hate it. But the people that do know their God will be strong and do exploit, and there's nothing the devil can do, and there's nothing that Antichrist can do, there's nothing the false prophet can do. He can't make them take the mark. But if he catches you, his soldiers are commanded to kill you. That doesn't mean that the angels can't help you escape again. And I had a dream of the tribulation period. And that was a girl. I saw a girl escape the soldiers. They were kind of stupid. They wasn't the brightest bunch. And anybody that follows Satan's not that bright. It's just the way it is. They were kind of clumsy and foolish. But so it is with the world system. But they were still dangerous. But the girl got away from them that day. All right, verse 33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by famine, by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping, which means helping, which... I love old English, but you have to... Verse 34, now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. Now hoping means help. In other words, now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Being a pastor's son, I went to many funerals, and one thing a funeral will help a person do is sober up. When Christians see Christians being killed for what they believe, they sober up. And they try them to make them white. They'll develop a real quick hatred of the world system. And they'll become more submitted to God. Christians will die. And they will be persecuted. In this country, they're talked about and hated. But it's not legal to kill us yet. In that day, it'll be commanded to kill Christians. And some people will do it. And the soldiers will do it. Even American soldiers, they're going to turn in that day. So remember, the Christians will have been raptured. And some people are not, they're going to know better. They'll be left here, but they'll know better. So there's going to be a godly influence here, regardless of the rapture. And people will know that they weren't right with God, and that's why they got left. But they're going to be embarrassed and tempted to believe the lie, the convenient lie. They're going to be tempted to believe a convenient lie. And many people that didn't know God are going to get saved, and they're going to contend for the faith. And people that rejected to repent and rejected the Lord, they're going to be deceived. But it's going to be bad, very bad. All right. So it's verse 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Verse 37 says, neither shall he regard the God, big G, of his fathers. Now this means he was either a Jew, or the son of a Christian lineage, because it said fathers. And that's why Elder Lewis believed that he was half Jewish, and many scholars do, because fathers with the S on it meant heritage. So the Jews are the only one that has God as a heritage. And the only way he could be the son of a Christian is if the Christian man was, you know, generations of Christians. Which that doesn't seem likely, because we bear fruit after our kind. And I just can't see a Christian man having a son to grow up to be the Antichrist. So he's probably Jewish, half Jewish. I believe Elder Lewis is right on that. Verse 38, but in his estate he shall honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold, and with silver, and precious stones, and precious things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. He shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. So we're going to pause right there. Come back to it. We stopped at verse 40. The Antichrist is a bad fella. He's not right. He's not right in the head, and he's definitely not right in the heart. Now what we see the Antichrist setting himself up to be strong, to be worshipped, to seem wiser. He's making himself look bigger in the eyes of the people against God. And it looks like they have no way out. He's saying that he's God. He's acting like they want him to act. He's deceptive and he's dangerous. Now he doesn't look like an evil person. He doesn't look like the monster that he is. He takes the kingdom by flatteries. He appeals to people. He's deceptive. He's not trustworthy. Many people who love the world system, sometimes they think like a serpent. Serpents don't care who they strike. They are all about themselves. This man will be charged with Satan, just like Judah was. Now, Jesus called Judah a son of perdition. That meant that if you have any doubts whether he went to hell or not, Jesus called him a son of perdition. Then one time he called him a devil. Now, when Judah got possessed, he was possessed with Satan. Now, that's the only man I ever seen. Well, it may be others, but that's the one I remember now that was possessed with Satan. He was totally possessed with Satan. And Satan is very cunning. You gotta hate his way. You can't leave satanic things you can't leave the things of the devil to happenstance. You have to kill it out of your life. If you don't, you're going to have problems. We don't need to live in any form of uncertainty. We need to know our God. We need to get to know his word and receive it. We need to believe him. We need to act on his word. We need to cherish his word, because Satan is out there and he will use our desires as a weapon against us. See, he knows that you can't win against him if you like what he's doing and what he stands for. You know, I like to watch movies, and a good actor can get you involved emotionally. A good one can make you so mad that you'll want him dead. And we're commanded by God to love everybody. Now, everybody likes to see the bad guy get it. And in movies and films, plays, dramas, everything's so alluring. Women are meant to be very seductive. It depends on what kind of movie it is. Some things we need to weed out of our lives. We need to, just like you take weeds out of a garden. See, the Lord gave us these examples in nature. You can't have a decent garden with weeds in it. And you can't live a decent life with the world cropping up here and there. But the people that did know their God, they did the exploits. They were not deceived by the by the beautiful Antichrist. You know, he come to them smooth, good looking, kind. That didn't trip them out. They wasn't amazed by him. They saw him for what he was. Now, remember, the Christians would be gone. And the world, it's been in movies and books about the Antichrist. The common people know about the Antichrist in America. But in other countries, they don't. Wherever there's a darkness and no Bibles, no Christians, people don't know. So there are going to be many people that's going to be caught up. The governments are already leaning towards this one. They do sneaky things behind the scenes right now. There are so many corrupt politicians. They're not watching out for the people. They're watching out for themselves. They're living off the people. And they make laws to their favor. They make laws against us in this country. So if you're not industrious and if you don't use the wisdom of God, you're being squeezed and you don't know it. Even if you're on welfare, even the people that are on welfare, they are set up for total failure. Because when things go south, they're going to stop the welfare. And their muscles are going to be weak. They don't know how to take care of themselves. And the government's not going to be able to do it. So we have to have something that we can fall back on. We have to have skills. And it's very important for people to realize the fact that they need to be industrious. If you anybody that study the Word of God and seek to do it, they become industrious. They become people that take a job and work that job and move forward in the job. Whatever skill they have, they learn that skill well, and they do good with it. And they don't, they don't slack. Slacking is a problem. Laziness gives Satan an unfair advantage against you, because they can vote prices high, and your pay is not increasing. Even if you started out, the bank gave you a loan on your house and your car, and you're doing all you can to make the payments. Now they can turn around and raise the rates on everything. And now you're in a position where you can't even afford to keep both of them. And even if you can, if you're not saving money, you're being squeezed. And if you don't find a way to get out of debt, get another job, put money aside, you may lose something. Satan is behind it. But we're of another kingdom, and we're going to have to learn how that kingdom works. Now, some people learn how the kingdom of God works, and some people choose not to. Jesus said that I'm paraphrasing, those who of the world, they understand their system. They're wiser in their way than we are in ours. We're going to have to learn the ways of God. We're going to have to receive His word in our hearts for vision, so we can believe God for the things we need and stop the process, the satanic process that's set against us. There's no advantage to getting mad at men, because the men that are doing these things, they are deceived by Satan. Their focus is on their greed, their gain, their fame, their fortune. And sometimes they hate other races. I'm not just talking about one race. Every race is capable of hating other races and doing things against other races. Racism is ungodly. But some people haven't weeded that devil out of their life. And it's not just white. Black people are racist as well. Anybody, any type of person can hate another person. That's racism. That's wrong. And the Lord is looking at the heart. You can't serve God with a foul heart, because you're going to love one and serve the other. You can't serve God and money, and you can't love God and hate His people. The way we love God is the way we love people. Without love, it all goes south. You can't, there's nothing that, faith won't even work without love. So we got to love these people and stop the works of the devil. Jesus didn't leave us here a sitting duck. There are ways you can stop satanic activity in your life on the local government level and on the national level, on the state level. You have to pray for the leaders to make the best decisions. You have to do warfare against satanic activity in the White House and in Congress and Senate, state level and national level. You have to pray for the mayors. You have to pray for the council members. And it's good for Christians to go to the council meeting and let them know you're watching sometimes. Now, the things of God, they are there. Everybody's not going to do these things. But you have to do whatever God put in your heart. Some people are concerned citizens and they act. Take the Holy Spirit with you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may give you the right questions to ask to make change. If you don't want to go to a council meeting and do all that, the least you could do is pray for your country. So many people talk about the president. The presidents are not always as evil as people portray them to be. God doesn't use slander. Now, even if the person was like that, you were still obligated to pray for them. Every president needs our prayers. They're trying to do right in many cases. And if they're deceptive, you know, the Lord can do things if we pray. And, you know, prayer won't work unless you believe. You have to pray in faith. You have to know that what you're praying for will happen. You have to know you got it before you get it. In every case, whether it's healing, you're praying for the country, you're praying for yourself. Remember, the people that do know their God, they will do the exploits. They will undo the works of darkness. But Satan, if you allow Satan to have a place in your life, it's not going to work. But if you weed Satan out of your life, which is our responsibility, it's in our best interest, then we're free, we can think. With Satan out of the picture, no desires towards the world, we can think. That's what happened to me. First, the Lord taught me how to love. And from there, I learned how to kill lust and temptation, forms of it. And you know, most men, that's the biggest problem, women. I was able to think without being tempted with women. Back in the year between 87 and 88. And the Lord honored all of my prayers and taught me how to do this. Then I was able to think, and I was able to concentrate on greater things. From there, he taught me about authority and how to, the problems of the church, which his people, the greatest problem is his people don't follow him. And I was able to learn greater and greater things. I was free to think and receive God's word and let it form vision in my heart towards the things that the Lord was trying to teach me. He gave me books about racism. See, God he's not a racist, he hates racism. He gave us the different races as a gift. Every race is a gift. And they have different attributes to come together and build society. And he taught me this. And I wrote about it in the book called The Cost of Freedom. It's on my old website called Living Letter Ministries. livingletterministries.com. That's my old site. And the book is on there called The Cost of Freedom. And at the end of the book, there's a play called Free Freedom. And those are the things that I learned against temptation from women and lust and how to kill it. But the play is not separate from the book. When you click on the book, you have to go all the way to the end to read the play. And one day I'm going to get my daughter to help me divide it so I can publish it both ways. Anyway, it's on there. It's on the old site, livingletterministries.com. And this site, you know, is newlivingletters.com. Now, God loves us, and He gives us gifts. The different races is a gift, and they have different attributes. And they come together we come together to be a society. And I want to do a broadcast about it. I'm almost out of time now. But as we go forward in the Lord, we can do great things. We can do the greater things. And the only way to kill deception is to lose the taste for the world. Let the world be the abomination that it is. Don't see anything of the world as good. It's designed to cause you to be an enemy against all that you love. An enemy against Jesus, an enemy against God, an enemy against His ways, and an enemy against all mankind. Any love for the world, if it goes unchecked, it works against you. People that love things that's wrong, they don't study the same. They don't feel the same way. Their love gets weaker. And then they do everything. If your focus changes, your direction changes.